The following audio is from Fathom Church in downtown Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
Thank you all for coming. Really appreciate the support, especially from HSM students. Thankful that you're here. You can kind of treat this as a timeshare if you like. You just kind of hear my pitch, and then there's free food at the end. So if you're out here kicking and screaming, at least stay long enough for that. So I hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Last week, the service was canceled, and we posted a couple of videos from Matt Kaiser talking about the Sacrament Observing Church. And there are two separate videos. One's about baptism. The other is about the Lord's Supper. And I encourage you to watch that. It has really good stuff. And it's very good for us when it comes to remembering what Jesus has done for us. So, yeah, and we're continuing along the series with the eight marks of the church. And we're really thankful for Matt Kaiser and Restore for helping us out in this process, in this season. I have to say that I really look forward not only to this, but walking along with you in the weeks ahead. So before I get into what I'm going to talk about today, would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can just come together to be united by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I rely not on my own words, Lord, but on your Spirit for you to preach the message, Lord. Thank you for today, and may we be convicted and have a good time at the same time. In your name we pray. Amen. Cool. So, I have a confession to make. I actually have a vice, and this could be because I'm in youth ministry or just because I'm young in the faith, perhaps, but I watch YouTube. How many of you here watch YouTube? How many of you here have ever heard of Fail Army? Fail Army videos, I see my HSM students certainly have. Okay. For those of you who don't know what Fail Army is, it's just like every video that you could possibly imagine where someone attempts anything and they fail to do it. Sometimes it's funny to see someone trip and fall, and I know that's not very Christ-like, but it's funny. Sometimes you feel a little bit bad about who's ever in the video, particularly like wedding videos, where like the whole wedding party would go on a dock and try to take a wedding photo, and there'd be too many of them, and they'd fall into, Justin probably knows what I'm talking about, they'd fall into the lake because the dock collapsed. Sometimes these videos make you cringe because you see like a skateboarder trying to ollie down the stairs, and they land on the railing and hurt their backs. Hopefully they're okay. In these videos, you'll find fails of every kind, bad weddings, bad reunions, bad parenting videos, people running into walls, road rage, car crash fails with wheels coming off, people running red lights and then getting pulled over videos, prank videos, athlete fails, and my personal favorite, try a combination of weird food and sauce videos. So a couple of weeks ago, I've had the pleasure of eating Chick-fil-A with my students, and it's actually something that we do every week after HSM has kind of become a regular thing. And it's grown to the point where we try to call ahead to the Chick-fil-A in Aspen Grove and let them know that there's a big group of kids coming. They've actually started to assume and actually staff for that. Now, if there's one thing I've learned through leading HSM, it's that things can get really hectic really fast. And in this particular case, I had a couple of students try to eat different combinations of sauces. One of them's here today, I'm not going to point out. who it is. And as I was just watching things unfold, they tried different sauces like Texas Pete and strawberry jam, or Chick-fil-A sauce and butter, which is probably not that bad. And then the great, and this makes me want hungry, sriracha sauce with honey. Inevitably, cringy faces were made, sauce was spat out, coughing ensued, and it took all my willpower not to burst out laughing because I'm supposed to be the mature one of the group. So instead, I shook my head and said, told you that would happen, now you have to clean up the mess. And the Chick-fil-A workers that actually witnessed this happen were just stood there just disappointed in the generation that will inherit the future. But apparently, they later admitted they were just as amused as I was. So why did they even do that? What did they expect would happen? They obviously thought sriracha sauce and honey together wouldn't be so bad. What were the people in those fail army videos were thinking right before one fell face first into the ground or someone else trying to jump over a trash can only to fall right in? They must have thought it would have worked out. They must have thought that they were doing it the right way. In our excitement, we always think that we know what the right way to do things. Even when our way of thinking is godly, biblical, has good intentions, and we even come to a consensus or agreement, we realize that we fall short because we are fallen. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about vision. Now, certain churches are centered around specific missions and visions and concepts of ministry. For example, you have your worship-centered churches. Tend to be your charismatic churches, those that emphasize the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit, and that's all well and good. Might not be our cup of tea here at Fathom, but they're just as godly as we are. There are mission-centered churches, those that support local and international churches. They might have advocate for like a social justice issue or like a cause for the oppressed and the poor. There are community-centered churches, and these are where you find all your clubs and fellowship that people get together. I particularly like community-centered churches because there's a lot of barbecues and I like food. The idea is to get to know one another, to fellowship with one another. And then finally, you have your Bible-centered churches, which I'd hope most, not all churches are like this, but here's the emphasis of expository study. We'll go through book, you know, one after the other in our sermons. There'd be Bible studies, and there are all kinds of Bible studies, like men's Bible study, women's Bible study, singles Bible studies, couples Bible studies, men and women's Bible studies, singles and couples Bible studies, college Bible studies, all these Bible studies, and they're all, and just to name a few. But what is the call, what is the church actually called to do? I talked to Chris a little bit about this to see what was his thoughts on our vision here at Fathom. How did that came about with him and the church planting team and why we might follow that vision today. When it comes down to it, it has to do with the Great Commission. And there's a slide up here, should be. And that next slide. There it is. Okay. So it comes to Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20, it says, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And just a couple of things that comes out of that is the idea that we were commanded to do three things in that commission, and that is to baptize, to teach, and to obey. And they have, those ideas have three things in common, and that is going deeper. And so that's how we came about in our Fathom vision. If you ever heard of it, or if you know it, or seen it on our website, it's to see people go deeper with God. Our vision is about helping people go deeper, taking the next step in their faith, producing more disciples. You know, by being Bible-centered, worship-centered, mission-centered, and community-centered are all good things to be. And we should strive for all those things. Different churches are in different neighborhoods and have different emphases, you know, that they want, that they bring about preaching the good news to that particular people group or community. And those are all good things. But here at Fathom, the goal here is to incorporate and embody all these things. It's about going deeper together in our faith, in our relationship with God, whether walking alongside a brand new believer in the next step of their faith, or discerning a call or experience worship, or coming together at the table for communion. All of this is about going deeper. This is what the church is supposed to do. And, you know, if I could be frank, I think that this has been made more apparent in the last few months, if I could say that, than ever. Although Fathom has been through hard times, it's been a privilege for me, and I think most of you would agree, to be a part of this and to figure this out together. We've been through a season of repentance and reconciliation, and it's hurt and it sucks, and we have a long way to go. But this is the point of the church, to go deeper with God during any season and to do it together, whether that feels good or not. Although I think that our vision to see people go deeper with God, it falls short, just like any other vision. Do not kid yourself, church, and think that any combination of words, logos, or even inspirational videos can measure up to the spirit and to the mission of God. Because when we do, we fall into this particular myth, is that you can be united by any vision in your church and be a healthy church. We can have the best vision of the world, but we must always remember that we're here, why we're here, and what we've set out to do, to be united as the church by the Spirit. And so the mark that I would like to talk to you about today, kind of going in line with the eight marks of the church, is the Spirit-United Church. So with that in mind, let's find out what that means. So if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Acts 4, verse 32. We're not really a verse on screen kind of church. We really like to have the Bible in our hands. There's just something intimate and free about having the Word of God in our hands. For those of you who don't have a Bible, or if you're new here, we do have a Bible underneath every chair here. Take that home with you. If you don't own a Bible, it's our gift to you. So again, that's Acts 4, verse 32. Now, a full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. You know, just to give them context of this passage, the church, the early church, has grown immensely. We saw that in Acts 2, and I believe it was preached a couple weeks ago, that Peter preached this amazing sermon exhorting people to come to the faith, to come to Christ. And as a result, 3,000 came to the faith. And we see the early church and the apostles working wonders in their communities, performing miracles and giving to those in need. The apostles continue to bring the good news to the people with joy and with boldness. They are on fire for God. They have a vision to preach the gospel, commissioned by Jesus himself and emboldened by the Holy Spirit. And we'll see in Acts 2, and I believe there's another slide up there, Acts 2:4, and it says, "And they were all filled with the joy, or with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, just as Jesus promised, where they're given the ability to preach the good news, because without the Spirit, we cannot do so. Now, this question we always have is, what is the role of the Holy Spirit to our church, or to the church in general? What unites the church, and in what are we united? And that is the mission of God. The Holy Spirit helps us in carrying out that mission. And we'll talk more about mission in a couple of weeks, because that's one of the marks as well. But we've been commissioned by Jesus to go and baptize and to teach and to obey. But the Holy Spirit is what unites us and gives us the ability to do that, so that we can carry on with the mission. And so we come to Acts 4, verse 32. And you have a group of believers who saw what God did in their lives, and they were united by the Spirit. So the first marker, kind of first idea I want you to kind of take away from this is that on what a Spirit-united church is that they share because of their love for one another and for Christ. And there's three things that this passage kind of tells us about the Spirit-united church that they shared. They first shared their hearts and their souls. And you see the early church being united in every way, not only just in their decision-making, but in their community and in their worship of God. They're all of one mind. They're all together. And they're in line with the Spirit of God and in God's will. And so the people of that church, of the church in general, have a space to bring their ideas and their skills together to serve one another and to serve God, to bring glory to him, because that's why we were created, was to bring him glory. The next thing that they shared, that the early church that was united by the Spirit shared, was their possessions. They had everything in common. The church saw that everything that they had was God's and not their own. And this brings about the idea of stewardship, the idea that we're all blessed here together, whether we're wealthy or whether we're poor. Everything that we have is given to us by God. And so we share that with one another to bless one another. And we see this in our D groups, for example. We share our time, our home, our food. That's not necessarily an easy thing to do, except for the food part. And some of us would love to ignore each other until the next Sunday. And yet, there are so many of us that come together, and I'm just so thankful for all the D groups that we have. But as a church that loves God and one another, we go to these D groups, and we go to Bible studies, and we fellowship, we go to block parties. The block parties that have to do with Fathom, not block parties in general. We give to one another. And then finally, they shared their vision. And it's a vision that is led by the Spirit. They had everything in common, not just in their hearts and in their possessions, but also in their service to God. They knew why they were here, why they came together, based on what Jesus has done for us. And they took the Great Commission seriously, preaching the gospel and giving to the needy. So let's see more about that in verse 33. And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. So a second idea that I would like you to take away from this, that we can learn from this, is that a Spirit-united church is preaching. The second marker that makes the Spirit-united church is the preaching of the gospel. The Holy Spirit empowers the church, even when it's dangerous. How many of you are mourning people? Surprisingly a lot more than I thought. Okay, well, I'm a mourning person, but I find that the older I get, the more I enjoy sleep. It's kind of a trade-off. I enjoy having, you know, getting up early and just having kind of me time and just getting up slowly and stuff. There's something free about that. But with that in mind, how many of you are not mourning people? You can admit it. It's okay. It's probably a lot more. Oh yeah, amen. So growing up, my sister was not a mourning person. She would take cranky to a whole new level. It didn't matter if you gave her coffee or bribed her with any other source of caffeine or even gave her money. If she woke up on the wrong side of the bed, everybody's morning was ruined. And this made getting up for school particularly difficult for her and for our family, as you can imagine. So every so often, I would be told to go wake her up, either because my parents didn't want to deal with her, or because we were running late and I was just the nearest person to her room. Now, in other circumstances, I would jump on this on the opportunity to annoy her and to make her life miserable, or even inconvenience her in some way. And when we were kids, this was kind of an easy thing to do. She's probably going to kill me when she sees this. But I was terrified of her in the morning. She held nothing back when it came to waking up and someone disturbing her beauty sleep. So she never woke up because of knocking. So after trying that, I opened the door to kind of slowly make sure that I can, you know, that everything's okay and I can shield myself from a shoe or something sharp. And this is how it looked. I would literally have my back to her and with kind of my hand reached out near where her foot was and then another hand out to where the door so I can, you know, and I'm just ready to book it as soon as she gets up. And so I shook her and immediately sprinted off. And yet every time that I did this, she would hit me with something. It didn't matter. It never failed. It didn't matter how fast I was, how ready I was to wake her up. It was like walking on a minefield in the morning, but the whole field exploding no matter how careful you are. So sometimes God puts you in dangerous situations so that you can bring the good news to people. The believers in early church knew the dangers of evangelizing and relied on the Holy Spirit to give them courage and to give them the message. The preaching in the ancient world was dangerous. And in fact, becoming a Christian in or around the Mediterranean was almost like a death warrant at some point. But that didn't deter the Spirit United Church, because the love and the truth of Christ was so great and apparent in their lives that they cannot help but tell others about it. That's the vision of the church. And no matter what dangers lie ahead, you have to tell somebody about Jesus. And I hope that is our posture here as well. The Spirit United Church shares this love for one another in Christ and is empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the gospel. But how do we get there? What does that even mean? I think there are two ideas or two postures we kind of need to adopt here as a church. And the first is we need to adopt a posture of repentance. A Spirit-united church is like a family. Sometimes you don't get along. Sometimes we go back and forth on issues. Sometimes there's disagreement. And to be honest, that could be healthy if done correctly. We need to hold each other accountable in our doctrine, in our church structure, and this goes from the elders all the way to the congregation. We need to ensure that we continue to talk to each other and hold each other accountable in that. But thank God that despite our disagreements and the headaches that we give each other, that we are part of God's household. Here at Fathom, we are a family who is under the headship of our loving Father. So don't ever forget that. And a second posture that we should adopt is one of reconciliation. And a Spirit-united church is like a marriage. When things are going well, marriage can feel like the greatest thing in the world. And it is. How blessed I am to live this life along with Katie. And it's just an amazing thing. But in the same way, the church works. When things are going well, people are getting along, serving one another, growing together in their faith. It's easy to get excited about this part of the church. But there's a flip side to that. Just like in any marriage, church is hard. You need to work at it. It can get messy. Sometimes there's disagreement, and that just doesn't feel all that good. And we're left not only to enjoy the good stuff, but also to endure what peeves us. And so a Spirit-united church isn't afraid to work through these problems. We can come to a posture of reconciliation. Let's get our hands dirty and worship God together. And all that is to say, church, is that we've already been doing this. So I would just challenge you that along with all of us, that we continue to do it and to see Christ work in our lives, that we can be united together by the Spirit. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your Spirit, Lord, that we can be empowered by you to preach the good news. Lord, we pray that whenever there's disagreement or struggle, Lord, that we always just first come to you, that we're just reminded of what your Son has done for us. And that we have come together because of the cross. Lord, whenever there is any sort of division, Lord, in our church, I just pray that we could just be reminded of all of that and that we could just come to you as the source of our unity. And Lord, when things are going good, Lord, we just pray that you keep us humble, that we continue to rely on you and your Holy Spirit, Lord, to just bring us together and remind us of what your Son has done on the cross. Thank you, church. Thank you. Thankful that God has allowed me to serve here. God, I pray that you'd bless this church and continue to convict us in our lives and your word. In your name we pray.